You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 436 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine Monday evening. It is still the dead period of the NBA calendar, but with that said, we have a special guest today to talk about the NBA draft, at least for the most part, and some other stuff as well. Brian Schroeder, you've been on the podcast before. What's going on, man?
Hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's less hot than it was, but it's still hot. It's too hot for September.
I was going to say, it's still been very warm here as well. Not that that's weird in Atlanta for September, but it's still even warmer than it normally is. It's been hitting 90 regularly, which is still kind of wild in September. So
it was 96 the other day, the last week here.
That's very warm in September, I will say, objectively. But we could do weather talk, whatever we want. But all right, the headliner today will be the 2019 draft class, which I know you are knee deep in. I admittedly am not as well prepared on 2019 as I want to be. I am someone who does have a working knowledge of these guys in advance of them starting college. But for the most part, most of my draft stuff happens in season when guys are playing basketball games. But I know you've done a ton of stuff on those guys. Before we get to 2019, though, I do want to ask you what you thought about what the Hawks did in 2018, because people might remember that you came on before the draft. We talked a lot about what the Hawks could do, what they might do, and all that fun stuff. And I know you were definitely as deep as anybody in the 2018 class. So what did you make of what the Hawks came away with in the draft? Obviously, that was like almost three months ago now, but lots changed, but some stuff happened.
I mean, I didn't get to see Kevin Herter in Vegas, and that was a little disappointing.
Me too.
I really just kind of fell for him as far as like a late teens guy late in that period. I mean, they're going to be rightly criticized if Doncic is as good as he seems and Trey isn't Steph Curry, which he won't be, but the strategy makes sense. I mean, they drafted the best shooter at every position. That's they had three first round picks, and they got the best shooting guard, the best shooting wing, and the best shooting big. So, I mean, it's really hard to criticize the thought process, at least.
Yeah, it's clearly coherent what they wanted to do. I mean, you know, Herter is the one guy we haven't seen yet. I started to come around to him as well in the draft process. I thought that was a perfectly fine pick. Probably not what I would have done, but still someone that was perfectly reasonable. At 19, we haven't learned a lot about him. I know you were in Vegas as I was. Did you learn anything about Trey and or Amari Spellman that you are willing to share? Because I know it's still such a small sample size, but it's also the sample size that we've been able to see.
Amari didn't hit any shots, but he was a little more explosive in space than I expected, which was nice. Hit some really good garbage. He became like a good garbage man in Vegas, which I thought was pretty nice. Their team in general, though, Trey didn't hit shots, but the passing was still good. When John Collins wasn't playing, they didn't have anybody to set picks, really, because Kaba can't. Like, I like him, but he can't really set picks at a good level right now. He's really inconsistent with his shoulder level. And like Amari just didn't, I don't think he got it yet, because it's not really a big pick and roll offense at Villanova, at least not for him. I don't know. They all look fine. They didn't look as excellent as the top level guys, though. But if Trey had hit 35% of his threes, he would have been a top five guy there. He looked fine. He just didn't hit shots.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I thought the Utah overreaction was just that, an overreaction. And then when he was, you know, had it going in Vegas, it was almost swinging too far the other way. I thought he played well in Vegas for the most part. And he's going to shoot better than he did in Utah, obviously. That was kind of what we've talked about a million times at this point in time. But, I mean, he's a guy you can learn probably more than normal about a guy in Vegas. There's certain guys that are kind of just going to look how the way they look. But there were some questions that were at least answered, I thought, by Trey in a more positive sense.
I did like Jalen Morris, too. I like him. I liked him before the draft.
With Jalen Adams or Jalen Morris?
Adams, yeah.
Sorry. I do that, too. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Jalen Morris was the guy who was in the NBA last year. Jalen Adams is the same monster guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Adams is interesting. I think he is an NBA player if he can shoot the way I think he can shoot. That's his, obviously, his big skill, and he's going to have to make shots because defensively it's not really going to be there, I don't think. But I like that two-way acquisition. I thought he was a draftable player. Like, I thought he was probably one of the top 60 guys.
That's the thing about this draft that's going to keep going. Like, more than the strength of the top, which I think is slightly overrated, there's a lot of guys in this. There might be like 55 NBA guys in this draft. That's an abnormal number, which does not carry over to the 2019 class, if we want to segue there.
Yeah, let's go there, because I agree with you about last year, and that was one of the reasons I hated them trading away that 34th pick. But 2019 has, you know, people have been, I guess, casually saying that it's a bad draft for a while. I think it's always too early to say that, but at the same time, the depth, I'm with you, that I have seen, and again, admittedly, this is not my strength at the moment. I have a lot more to do with these guys, but from everybody I talk to, including yourself, depth is not exactly the greatest thing in the world. Fortunately, the Hawks project to be picking really high, but this will have other picks to think about, and depth is not looking great here.
It's not like that. It's an average draft. It's just compared to the last two, it's going to look bad.
Sure.
It's the same thing. It's almost the same thing as 2013, although 2013 was less obvious from this at this stage. But, you know, the 2011 draft is one of the deepest in recent memory, and 2012 was a good draft. And so 2013 just looked like mediocre. But the real question here is this draft might have 40, 45 guys in it. I just don't know how many of those guys are going to be guys you want to, like, trade up for. Like, the tiers in this one are really strange, because it'd be, like, the top tier, and then maybe, like, three or four guys in the second one, and then just nobody. Like, nobody that I would consider has, like, a star after, like, the sixth or seventh pick. But then those guys are all good down to, like, 35, and then there's, like, 10 or 15 more guys who could be good. So it's an interesting – this is always – some of these guys are going to play better in high school or in college than they did in high school. But
yeah, and the returning guys with every year, it feels like there's more and more one and done. So
this is a good returning class, actually, like comparatively speaking. So that'll help.
That should help. Before we get into the guys who are the one and dones, who do you like that are coming back? Because I think people, you know, the top three or four guys, people sort of have working knowledge of now, I think. But the guys who are coming back, probably a little bit more recognizable to some people that just might follow college hoops. So who do you like that's returning to college?
The first guy is Jonte Porter. I think there's a real chance you could argue Jonte should be a top three pick if he plays the way he did last year in a bigger role. He profiles as almost like a budget Jokic. Like he's an incredible shooter for a 6'11 guy with minimal athleticism. He's got an amazing touch. He's really smart. Like he's a good defender despite not being able to jump and doesn't block shots. His touch is a little iffy in the post, so it's not like Jokic, but he's also just a really good passer. Like I'd almost say he plays like Pau Gasol does now, but without like the injury history and the mileage. But just like, and probably better like moving his feet out on the perimeter. But yeah, he's probably going to be a better NBA player than his brother, because he'll probably be able to play NBA minutes. You know, he's not going to be having multiple back surgeries before he's 20 years old.
Yeah, that was definitely a worry point with Michael. And, you know, when Jonte came back to school, people were surprised. I was a little bit surprised, but at the same time, like, it's probably the right move, because he was going to go outside the top 15 at a minimum, I thought, in last year's draft. And this year, I'll be surprised if he's not a lottery pick. Unless something weird happens, he's going to be a lottery pick, I think. So,
I mean, he's going to be – his percentages might suffer because they lost their top three scorers, and they're going to be bad. Missouri's going to be very bad. But it might work out. He might just be like the focal point guy, and he might destroy.
And he did last year at times doing that.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter is really good, although I'm not sure if he's really going to develop offensively. In which case, I don't know if he's a lottery pick. But he's got like
he's from Virginia. For people that
Virginia,
don't
know. Yeah, he's the guy who if he hadn't gotten hurt, they would have beaten UMBC by 25 points probably, because he was the guy they put on other guards, so Jairus Lyles wouldn't have had that scoring burst more than likely. And Hunter was also probably their most dynamic individual scorer because he's a really good mid-range shooter. But yeah, he's kind of old for a sophomore, so I hope he develops his perimeter game a little bit this year. If he doesn't, he's just going to be like he'll be good. Like, I think he's going to be a good NBA player, but he's interesting. Hopefully he's healthy.
Oh, there's one more guy. I wanted to ask you about Daniel Gafford, because he was probably the highest ranked guy that came back.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's just enormous. He's got huge Tyrus Thomas potential to be a block, and I mean that in a good way, because Tyrus did the Tyrus thing where he'd block a shot on one end and then dunk in transition, and Dan Gafford did that a dozen times last year. He's just enormous. He's a lot bigger than a guy like Brandon Wright. That's kind of who he plays like, but he's 240 pounds. He's almost 7 foot. He's a big guy. I really like Killian Tilly from Gonzaga. It's just like a just really intelligent, skilled, big, just moves his feet well and makes passes. Let me look here. Tremont Waters. I'm a big Tremont Waters guy. I don't know if he's going to be a good NBA player, but he plays like Chris Paul. Like he's one of those guys who very obviously models his game off of Chris Paul. And it's not that far off of him in college, honestly. Like he's a pretty good college player. He may just be too small, though. Let me look here. Josh Reeves is a good player. I don't know. He's not really exciting, but he's a very good Big Ten wing, Penn State guy.
Yeah, I mean, there are some guys who I think Reeves is probably a good example of someone who's not going to inspire many people, but is someone who is solid and I think can be an NBA player. And that's kind of what you're looking for, because, you know, for better or worse, the Hawks are going to have their own second round pick, even if they don't land one of those.
I have Reeves at 23.
Yeah, so that'll be a guy who might be in play at 33.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Hawks are. Like,
yeah, because teams do this all the time. So actually, one thing I give the Bulls credit for when they pick in the 20s, they don't really try and swing for the fences. They just pick a guy they know is going to be good, like Taj Gibson. And that was a good pick. Plenty of guys. But, like, I don't know, Josh Reeves doesn't really have any ball handling utility, but he could be like a Courtney Lee type. He's just really good at defense and shoots. A couple more guys I have like near first round grades. Sagaba Kanade, I'm a big fan of.
Oh, you love him. That's your guy. I know that.
he's an enormous man. He also had one of the highest standing no-step verts in the history of the combine for a center.
Yeah, he came worked out with the Hawks. And for a minute there, I thought he was going to stay in the draft and might be someone the Hawks were looking at. Because they seemed, from what I heard, they liked what they saw. But then he went back to school, obviously. So.
Huggins convinced him he's going to make him shoot, which is a dumb idea. John Elmore from Marshall's just a really good Dan D'Antoni point guard. I don't know if he's going to be an NBA, but he's fun. Derek Culver from Texas Tech was almost as good as Zaire last year. I don't really know why he didn't get maybe like a Caris LeVert type, kind of like ball handling, skinny wing. He can shoot. Kenny Wooten Jr. is a monster. He's a Jordan Bell clone. I don't know if he has the intelligence of Jordan Bell, but he plays a lot like him. PJ Washington's pretty good at Kentucky. Rui Hachimura's, I don't know if he's good, but he's interesting in Gonzaga. Yeah. He hasn't really translated his skill to like actual production, but he's huge.
And he had a few moments, especially like in February last year, where it was like, here, this guy's coming.
He dominates, absolutely dominates for the Japanese national team and whenever he's playing, which is fun. And then maybe the guy I'm the biggest fan of who is still, I mean, he's getting more buzz, like Sports Illustrated is the thing on him. Ja Morant from Murray State is terrifying. Like, he's 6'3 and he's very skinny. But you think Murray State, Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon were the two guys from there. They're both shooters. They're both step-back shooters. Ja Morant shot pretty well, but he also put up – let me find it. Here's a group of guys who put up – who became freshmen in the last 25 years to put up 150 assists, 150 rebounds, and 10 blocks while shooting 42% from the field. Ben Simmons, John Wall, Derrick Rose, Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Ja Morant. Also, Ja Morant is younger than three or four of the incoming point guards. Like he's freakishly fast for the 6'3 guy. Like, I don't know how he didn't get recruited. He's like Zaire. Watch him and you're like, how did this guy not, like, I don't know. He's an excellent rebounder. Good, racks up steals, racks up blocks, shot like 80-something% from the line. He's gonna be their main guy this year, and he could be like one of the leading scorers in college basketball, and has plus NBA athleticism. He's really fun.
Yeah, he feels like a guy who people will know about by November because of the profiles that you're saying. Like Sports Illustrated, as you mentioned, just said something on him. Mm-hmm. He'll be that guy this year at a small school that's going to get the draft attention. There's always one or two of those guys, especially in the early season when no one's paying attention, but except for diehards, he'll be that guy who gets a lot of shine like that.
One more returning guy. I don't think he's going to be in play. Oh, Shamori Ponds is good too. I almost forgot about him. He's a little small.
Getter.
Yeah. One more guy. I don't think he's going to be in play in this draft, but I at least want to shout him out, is Andrew Jones from Texas, who less than a year ago was diagnosed with leukemia and now looks like he may, in fact, play for Texas this year, which is incredible. He was really good before he went out last year, too.
Yeah, he was a big prospect, too, when he was coming in. So
he's one of the biggest reasons Bamba's efficiency fell off is because he was the only point guard who could pass the ball to him.
Yeah, that was Texas was tough to evaluate.
One of the
12 things that made it even harder to evaluate Mo Bamba, who was a weird prospect. But that was not even easier because of the way that they played and the way that their guards played. All right, that's probably a good smattering of guys who were sort of outside the mainstream. Before we get to the four or five headliners, the Hawks might have these pick, at least one pick or maybe even two if in a perfect world, between 6 and 15 with the Mavs and Cavs. Do you have a guy or two that are not in your like top four that could be of interest in that range? Because I know there's, there's Bull Bull and there's all these guys who are at least semi-recognizable right now that could be in that range. And I know Hunter is probably a guy that you mentioned. And
well, Bull Bull's got to go before that. He'd have to be disastrously bad, and he's not going to be that bad in college. I want to say like Sekou Doumbouya, but he's going to go before then.
I believe ESPN's guys had him like number 3 or 4 right now, which is really high.
The problem with him is he's being treated like he's a wing, and he's not a wing. He's a power forward.
It's the Thon Maker treatment when people were talking about him as like this ball handling guy because of all the mixtapes, and it's like, no, he's actually a center.
But he's like, he's like 6'9" and a half, 240, and isn't really that good of a ball handler.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be a pretty good ball handler for a center, but like not a he's a big guy.
For a center is a good qualifier.
Naz Reid is a good. I mean, I don't think he's gonna be there that long, but he's really fun. He's actually a really good ball handler for anyone, even though he's 6'10", 250. Simi Shitu is a good guy. I'm pushing the Thaddeus Young comp for him, where he's like not super big, not super fast, but he's much bigger and faster than you think. And Simi can handle the ball a little too and can shoot, but like I think he's gonna be a guy who ends up being taken like in the late lottery and ends up being a starter for somebody for like 10 years. Like, he's good, he's really strong. He tore his ACL is the thing. He may not be playing at the start of the season, but he tore his ACL at 18. He'll be fine.
That's the profile of, aside from the ACL, that's the profile of guy who I always like more than most people do, the solid long-term starter guy. It's like there's so much value in that that people tend to ignore it. And
does multiple things
like that
pretty well.
Like. Yeah.
Charles Bassey, I'm not really sure what to think of him. He's big. He's a thick man. I'm pretty sure he's going to be in this draft because he'd be classified to be in this. Yeah. I think Lucas Samanich will go before then. I don't really think any of the Quentin Grimes is the guy I would target if I was the Hawks, because he could be a perfect second guard
of Kansas fame, by the way, if your people are scaring scoring at home, I should say. Sorry,
I like him a lot, but he'll probably be gone by then. I don't really think they'd want Darius Garland. They especially wouldn't want Darius Garland. He has all the same problems that Trey does, but he's probably not as good as Trey.
Well, and it's going to be tough because I know you don't want to draft for fit, but based on the fact that they already have Trey, who's sort of someone you have to at least think about fit-wise, and then you have this pick where we're all kind of assuming the Hawks are going to be picking in the top five with their own pick. So it's a situation where fit's going to come into play at some point. Like, I know fit's not everything, but at some point you're going to have to think about it with the way that they're drafting right now.
And if I'm gonna target a bunch of late, like maybe early teens guys, I might go with Jalen Horde from Wake Forest, who's one of those guys whose dad is an American who played overseas, so he was born. He's a Frenchman, French American, 6'8", 220, not explosive, but like really kind of fluid, kind of has like late stage Tracy McGrady movements and nice like finger rolls and stuff. I'm not sure if he can shoot, and I'm not sure if he can defend, but he can pass a little bit. He seems like the kind of guy who'd be a really good fit in Hawks University, if whatever form that's going to take moving forward. He's fun. I like EJ Montgomery. Could be another guy who's a true power forward, who's an excellent ball handler. Another guy who's not super explosive, but just has like really good feel. See, Romeo Langford's going to be gone before then.
I think so too. But maybe if like Lewis the Dallas King pick could be 6 or 7, like that's in play.
Lewis King is a guy I think is probably going to go pretty high from Oregon. He's going to be their only real wing coming into the year, but he's got really good size, very athletic, very. He seems like the kind of guy who will go high, like the Ben McLemore kind of thing. Although I think he's a better basketball player than that, but like you know, Ben McLemore just looked too good to not take. Let me see here. Jalen Smith, they could, yeah. I mean, stretch four is their kind of thing. He's put on weight is the problem. He's 6'10", 190 pounds, and he's a center. But he can shoot. He can shoot, and he looks like he's strong. He just needs to get bigger. I like him, and then any extra guy, maybe. I mean, I'm really starting to get on the Kevin Porter Jr. hype train. No relation to Michael Porter Jr., obviously. He's a Seattle area kid going to USC. He's about the same size as Romeo Langford, has much of the same strengths, but is a better athlete and probably a better defensive player. So, like, he could end up being one of those guys. He's the guy I think is most likely to do the Trae Young thing, where he jumps from the late 20s up into the top group of players as a freshman. Just because he could very easily lead the Pac-12 in scoring. Like, he's really powerful. He just kind of has the classic two guard game, like the Bradley Beal kind of game.
Yeah.
He's a really fun player.
That makes total sense. I mean, and especially because it's sort of a kind of weirdly the pure shooting guard thing. Not that it's extinct, but like there aren't that many guys that are like that.
Well, anymore. I've said this most of the time now. If you are that size, if you're 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", you're a three now.
Especially if you can defend threes, that's the big thing. Like, there aren't enough guys who can defend threes.
Yeah.
But if you can do if you can do it, you're playing the three. Like, it's,
and there's more tall point guards now than there ever have been too. Like, there's a lot of 6'4", 6'5" point guards. So yeah, the two, Bradley Beal is really the first guy, really the only guy I can think of. Wayne Ellington kind of is.
Who just, sure, like, yeah, I mean, he's definitely
a two guard. Like, it's really not a big position anymore. That's why I think Quentin Grimes will probably end up being a point guard.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It depends on what, how many ball handling. I don't know. It's not even. It's, you know, you play two. You play one point guard. You play wings, and then you play a center.
Yeah.
And sometimes
that's
one of those
there is to it.
an extra guard, because like Klay Thompson is a wing. He's not a guard.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he obviously can guard point guards and do all that stuff, but he functions as a wing, and that's kind of how the position groups work in most systems too. I mean, most teams. I mean, I know that's always the case under Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta. He doesn't care at all who's the two and the three. They're doing the same thing. Like, it's about who you guard, I suppose. But for the most part, most systems are kind of interchangeable with those two things.
Another guy I would say is an actual two guard. I don't think he's gonna be a first round pick this year, but I think he will have a good year. Jordan Poole. I threw that out for you.
Yeah, Michigan's own, my guy. He hit a big shot last year. People might remember him from that.
I think he's gonna be good. Yeah, I think he'll be the elite guy this year. I don't think Matthews is an elite scorer.
Oh no, he's not. I kind of like him as maybe he realizes that he's gonna have to play defense and be one of those like do everything guys.
He's good at it.
Yeah, he's a super athlete. I mean, there's a reason he was at Kentucky first. Like, he's a super.
Yeah, he's just really janky. He's just not super fluid. I think he'll probably be in the NBA though.
Yeah, I think he can stick. I mean, he'll be a second rounder, and then we'll see. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, and you're speaking my language, of course, with my maize and blue guys. All right,
it's gonna be a weird year for them.
Go ahead.
It's gonna be a strange year for them. I like Brazdeikis though. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, it's a weird team because Beeline just kind of reloads, but they were so reliant on Mo Wagner that not having him there will be very interesting, and not having Duncan Robinson too.
I'm sure they'll be mediocre, and then they'll go on like 12-2 run and get like.
It helps to be very well coached. Like, they always do this thing where they're
Villanova's. The terrifying thing is that Villanova's getting all these 5 stars now.
Yeah, they're going to be terrifying. I guess we'll get back on. We could talk about college basketball all day, but
I'm really getting into writing my previews now, so I've been thinking about it.
Oh no, it's time. We're building. Okay, so before we ask you about the guys who are generally projected at the top, most people, I think, at least in the early going, have this like 4-player group. Of RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, and Nazir Little. Do you have somebody else in that top group, or is that your top four as well?
That's my top four. Jonte's fifth, Quentin Grimes is sixth, and Bol Bol is seventh. So we, it's, you know, but I said before
something
the top
of the order
group,
like there. Yeah,
I actually think it's two groups there. I think Zion and RJ are the top group, and then not Nazir and then Cam Reddish are the next group. Yeah,
I would even
Jonte. Jonte's even in that second group, but he's the third guy.
I will admit, and again, this is my, I will fully cop to not have seen these guys as much as I need to. I will say before the Duke summer trip, I was kind of at RJ a little bit by himself.
I think he might still be there.
Zion is definitely, he definitely impressed me. Go ahead.
They're neck and neck for me. I'm really waiting for the season to start to move Zion above him. I think he's probably going to be picked number one.
I need to get over my, like, he's just such a weird player, and I think that's probably why people like him even more now. And I think he showed more perimeter stuff than I was prepared for in that small sample of games. I was more worried about the prospect of him just kind of being this, I don't know. I mean, positionless is not a bad thing anymore, obviously, in today's NBA, but just a guy who I was worried about on the perimeter because he just does. I know he's huge and I know he's a ridiculous athlete, and that's kind of not up for debate at this point in time, but I was more worried about like what he was going to do offensively, and now I'm less worried about that.
Yeah, he's when they were running RJ at the point guard, Zion just became this roaming wrecking ball. He would just run around. They would run sets, he would just run into the paint and knock people over. And it's just, everything would be clear. They didn't have Reddish either. He's going to be their best shooter. That's his best attribute. But I mean, RJ looks great. The thing I'm worried about with RJ, and maybe this is me overthinking it, and this is getting too much into the draft Twitter thing. He doesn't seem like he's that much better now than he was 2 years ago when he was by far the best player in his age group. And that automatically reminds me of Harrison Barnes and Shabazz Muhammad. Now, he's a much more skilled player than either of those guys. Like, he's not just like a big, huge guy like Shabazz was, this enormous quote-unquote 17-year-old. But I am worried he may, like, I don't know what his trajectory is. Is he at the top of his arc already? Is he gonna keep getting better? I mean, if he doesn't, he's still probably going to be a good NBA player because he's got a lot of skills. But that's what I worry about. With Zion, I don't even know what is he. Does he have a, like, what is he?
I have no idea still. I mean, it's...
Is he 6'6 Blake Griffin with better ball handling? Like, that's... What,
I mean,
is 6'6 that?
6'6 might even be generous. I think he might be, like, 6'4 and a half.
I think he's at least 6'5. Next to Billis, he looked like he was about 6'5, but...
And, I mean, listed... What is he listed? Is it 280 now? Some 285?
285, yeah.
Which is just outrageous. I mean, and it's not that he can't function there, because obviously he's a ridiculous, powerful athlete. But you just don't have a lot of examples of someone with his... I mean, there's nobody with his combination of size and burst, but, like, who's the last guy who was like him height-wise? Is it Barkley? I mean, there really isn't anybody else that's like that.
Larry Johnson?
I mean, still, Larry Johnson was probably a little bit taller than that, wasn't he?
Larry Johnson was taller.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's that. That's also a long time ago.
Larry did not have ball skills.
No, I agree. I mean, he was just – and actually, I kind of like that comp now that you say it. You're going back a long way there. I mean, people listen to this podcast – I mean, I was young watching Larry Johnson. There's people who probably never saw Larry Johnson, at least prime Larry Johnson, play at any point. They're listening to his podcast.
I can go deeper. I can go with a George McGinnis comparison.
I mean, sure. I just think that, like, this is part of the problem that I'm having with Zion, and it's not a bad thing. I'm trying to tell myself it's not a bad thing. Just not having – I think comps are overrated, but it's just really hard to not have one at all. And, like, I'm not sure he does have one. It's hard.
I mean, physically, just the way he moves, the comp is LeBron. Like, that's the only guy I can think of who's that big who could move his feet around like that and was that nimble. I remember laughing when I think it was Billis in one of those games was like, how many college football coaches do you think are watching this and throwing things at their walls? Like, how do we not get this guy? Because he'd be the best edge rusher in the history of football.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's an absolute physical freak, and the way that he carries his weight at 285 already is just, like, crazy.
The interesting thing about him, and I really feel like this is a case of a guy who just didn't have to shoot, he doesn't carry his weight that well as a shooter. Like, he gets back on the balls of his feet and just kind of farts shots up there. It looks okay.
That's the swing skill. I mean, I think that's pretty clearly the swing skill for me. Like, he's going to have to shoot.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know if he's going to have to immediately because he's a really good – like, he's a good instinctual. He has really good instincts. He's a good passer.
Yeah, I mean, I really mean ceiling-wise. Like,
he gambles a little too much defensively, but he's – I mean, he was dominating people in those games. And those – I know it's not great competition, but people were saying, like, he played bad competition in high school. The guys he played against, like Ryerson and Toronto and McGill, those guys would obliterate most high schools. Like that, those are good college basketball programs. So
they're real. I mean, it's not like you know, it's not ACC talent, but it's not ridiculous either. It's not like
they will play worse teams this year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they'll play somebody in their building that they'll beat by 50, and it'll be worse. So I'm with you on that. I just think Zion is endlessly interesting. For a lot of ways. Quickly on RJ, is it just a situation where, I know you mentioned that it's like he's kind of the same player that he was 2 years ago. What does he need to get better at this year? Like, what does he have to show you to still be the number one guy?
Shooting off the dribble. That's the one area he hasn't. If he does start like really hitting shots off the dribble, like Jason Tatum or someone, then I'll be all in. Because he's a outlier slasher for like he has some of the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander stuff where he like he's really good at leveraging his weight, uses his length really well. I think he'll be pretty good defensively. He's got really big hands.
I think he will be too. I mean Zion's kind of different class like that. I think Barrett is pretty clearly a better defensive prospect than Reddish and Little are.
Little seems like the guy who's gonna ramp it up and be like dominant defensively some games. And
he
then
could,
kinda,
yeah. He's got the talent for it, at least.
He's got the reach, too. That's the other thing. RJ does not have... Like, Zion has a bigger wingspan by almost 3 inches than RJ. RJ's got just kind of an average wingspan. He's 6'8".
I don't think
I knew
that, actually. That's interesting.
Yeah. Zion's 6'10 and a half, I think, wingspan. He's got big arms.
And he needs him to be 6'5".
Yeah. The one thing I do want to say about Zion before we move on, the reason I think he's going to go number one, though, is get him in workouts and get him in interviews, and it's going to be like Bamba. Like
and
he's that
just
kind of
helium. I mean, we kind of made fun. We all did. We all made fun of
just,
Mo Bamba.
Not just he is. People are going to love him in the interview process.
That's like Mo. I mean, everybody loved Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba was like
he's an absolutely magnetic person. Yeah, Zion is. Just a fascinating guy.
And that matters. Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on the organization as to how much it matters.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. But the way that it's talked about, it definitely matters.
Could see somebody trading up to the number one or two pick four at this stage is what I'm saying. Now this it's at this stage. We'll see where we are in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it goes without saying. There's a lot of time and a lot of data that we don't have at this moment. But
Reddish,
let's
move on real quick about Reddish. He's the guy who has most. He has the most talent of that group by outlier.
Everybody says that too, and I agree.
he's got unbelievable. Like he's got, I don't want to use the McGrady comp again, but he's got like McGrady talent, like absolute best player on a team talent. I just don't know if he's going to, his instincts are kind of off and he seems very comfortable not being like, it's the opposite of Nasir Little. Nasir Little is a psychopath who played in the All-American game like it was the game 7 of the NBA Finals. And if he didn't win, his family would be killed. But
easy to like that guy because that guy is, it's visible to like,
yeah,
it's kind of the Colin Sexton thing, like yeah. guys who look like they're playing really hard are easy to like.
Although Nasir has actual good size for his position and can shoot.
Yeah, I just mean in general. Like I think Sexton, like for instance, Sexton's defense is like the most overrated thing in the world.
Yeah,
because he looks like he's trying, even though he's not very good defensively. And it's just more of a casual fan thing, but I do think that matters in terms of the way guys are seen as guys that are known to have big motors and that you can just see trying, people tend to gravitate towards.
It's why Nasir went from, I think this time last year, he was in the mid 30s to 2 and 3 and 4 on most places now. Like he had a very rapid trajectory. I don't know. Reddish has that. I think Bol was the other guy who could be in the top 4 or 5. Like, I mean, he's 7'3" and can shoot threes and has a 7'8" wingspan.
Which is kind of all you have to say.
Yeah.
That combination of skills.
It's really funny that he's in this class with Zion, because I think in any other class in the last decade, he'd be like the most interesting guy. But he's got
And I think you'll get your fair, your fair share of Volvo profiles along the way. That's going to happen, I'm fairly sure, still.
Yeah. The thing I want to be very clear about with him, he's a good dribbler, for especially for a 7'3 guy. He's going to get, like, Porzingis comps or, like, even, like, Embiid. He's not even in the same universe fluid as other 7-foot guys. Like, I mean, like, Ayton or Jaren or Brow or even, like, Cat. He's not even the same at this stage. Maybe he can get stronger in his lower body, but he falls over a lot. And not like Embiid does, where Embiid just sells his body out. He just, like, stumbles. I think he'll be relatively successful being, like, a not a primary initiator, but, like, a guy you can put create with the ball in his hands against college centers. I don't think that's going to go very well against NBA centers.
I can, like, see that. I mean,
he's not going to bring Clint Capela away from the basket and blow past him. Clint's just going to knock him down. Doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough comp, especially for a guy at his age. I think it's almost can be tough to see that player until you just see it at a higher level. But yeah, I agree for the most part.
He's got very bad, very poor biomechanics, is what I would say.
It's tough when you're that just that long, you know? Like, you got to be, these guys are all freakish, but, like, you have to be a real ridiculous athletic freak to be able to carry that kind of length and be able to handle it well.
Yeah. I mean, like, say, Jaren Jackson or something.
Yeah, your guy, Jaren Jackson, who was obviously incredible in Summer League and we all love.
Who also had his problems. Honestly, he had problems, like, getting the edge and using his strength, his leverage on people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can definitely, I mean, he's obviously more coordinated than 99.9% of people that are his size, but it's a situation where you're still going to see times when someone who is that long and that young who doesn't know what he's going to do yet physically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his instincts are off the charts, but you still have to be able to carry your length and your weight and all that fun stuff, and it's just going to take time. Bamba's the same way in some ways, by the way. Bamba's is freakish.
Yeah, Bamba's a little more, he's just a little unbalanced more than, like, awkward. Like, his legs, he needs to work on his legs.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we touched on all the top four there. How interesting is it? I mean, I know for me it's very interesting, but to have three of the top four prospects on most people's list on the same team, I mean, it's not that new, but it's just crazy.
Because they're still going to end up flaming out in the Elite Eight because Coach K doesn't know how to coach basketball anymore.
Well, there's that. It's just evaluation-wise, I would obviously prefer these guys not be on the same team.
I think it's good only because it'll make them put Zion at the four more often.
I mean, you say that, and then Coach K won't do it.
As a five.
I hope that. I mean, I would hope that he's playing some five this year in college, because he absolutely should.
Because Trey's going to be Trey Jones is Tyus Jones's brother, if you don't know. He's the point guard. RJ will be the secondary guard. Reddish will be the wing. Alex O'Connell will play some minutes as a wing. I mean, Joey Baker might play some as a wing. So that's kind of Coach K does not like playing. He doesn't like playing four wings, usually. He likes two bigs, which means he'll probably play Javon Delorier, my boy, and Marquise Bolden, not my boy.
I like Javon Delorier too. I'm in on him, just as a general rule. But it's not the first time in the history that the three guys have been. I mean, maybe on this level it is. Three of the top four is maybe a little bit unique. I guess you can't be a little bit unique, but a little bit rare. But Kentucky's had some teams where, like, four of the top 10 prospects were on the same team. Like, it's happened before. But
yeah, and one of those guys inevitably ends up disappointing. And I think if anyone does, it'll be Reddish this year.
Well, he'll just be. I think that's probably the safe bet, because I can see him kind of sleepwalking and being, at least early in the season, I can see him taking some time to get acclimated. Like, maybe it'll come on, maybe the light will come on in January and he'll be great the rest of the year. But if there's anybody that's going to get overshadowed and kind of pushed to the side, it's Reddish seems like a guy who might be willing to be pushed to the side, if that makes sense. Like, just be passive enough and kind of just float.
Like Kevin Knox.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I still think I'm not as high on Knox as some people are, but that's probably a good comp just theoretically, because
I mean, Reddish is more talented and has.
Oh, no, I agree. Fully.
Fluid player. I would definitely rather Knox. But
yeah. I just mean, if people didn't watch Kentucky a ton this year, there were times when Knox was just invisible, which is insane given his talent. So,
and the relative lack of talent on that team, too.
Yeah. Oh, that was a frustrating team to watch last year, most of the season.
When Shea wasn't playing for them, they were lost. They're gonna be more interesting this year because Emmanuel Quickley is pretty good. Ashton Hagens can't shoot, but he can do a lot of other things. Quade will probably be better. They've Reed Travis, who's just like not gonna let people fuck around. I mean, he's 23, and this will be his fifth year as a graduate player. I like EJ Montgomery, PJ Washington. Nick Richards is bad, but he's fun. Who else do they have? Go, Keldon Johnson. I'm looking right at him now. He's their best prospect, probably. I really like Keldon. Like maybe a Miles Bridges-ish kind of guy. And Tyler Herro. Tyler Herro is the other guy who could shoot.
Yeah, so that's just a lot of players. It should be fun.
They're gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Okay, this is probably unfair, but last question on these guys for now, and that is, who is the best fit for the Hawks? Now, fit's something that I don't necessarily care about until you get to the very, very top level and sort of a tiebreaker, but assume that we have the same evaluation on all of these guys. Who would be the best fit alongside Trae Young and the other guys that the Hawks have? Because that's an interesting question that people always ask me, so I'm going to ask you.
Well, because, yeah, I don't think you don't really need a big. I don't think any of these bigs are going to be, like, franchise-altering. Bol has the real only shot. Jonte's great. Jonte'd be a good fit, but I also do feel like that team might have some athleticism problems. I might say Nazir Little.
And he's the I think that's the answer that Tyler Jones, my good friend of the program, gave me. And I might agree. Just I don't think he's a better prospect than these guys are, but just pure fit wise, I think that might
the four top four guys, he's the most like classical wing player. He's a wing. Like you see him. He just does everything pretty well.
And especially if Trae pops, Trey's gonna have the ball in his hands a lot.
Because I like Taurean, and like Bazemore's good, and he's not gonna be there forever.
No, he'll
they don't have like a wing, like a big prospect wing. They need that guy. They need a dynamic guy. And Nasir's a really good pull up shooter. That's what he's really become better at. He's better at it than Barrett, and he's more physical and aggressive than Reddish. So you don't need him to pass, although he can do that well enough. You don't really need him to be like a crazy rebounder. He's a three, so you don't. You just need him to play like a budget Kawhi, maybe. Maybe that's a little too high. You know what I mean? Just like
I get it.
A two-way
player. The do everything guy. I mean, I know it's an unfair question, which is why people always ask me. I'm like, I got to see these guys more, and it's also going to be impossible to say, really, even if we know a lot more about these guys, just because you got to know more, about Trae and Taurean and John Collins to actually answer this question. But yeah, I think I'm with you. Just as a do everything, it's probably safer that way to just have that classical, because you know the four guys that the Hawks have right now that they believe are building blocks are Young, Herder, Prince, and Collins, and those guys probably aren't going to be their four best players, so you're going to have to add a guy or two there.
Dwayne Dedman will be.
Oh, I mean long term. Yeah, it's obviously going to be Dedman and Bazemore.
Dedman's good.
I just mean long term, like you know, Dedman and Bazemore are certainly two of their top five or six best players this season. There's no question about that. But yeah, just trying to think of the next good Hawks team. Like, I agree with you. They're going to need another wing. I think that's the one good thing about this class and potentially picking at the top of it is that, you know, three of these four guys are wings. And
it's weird how that works. 2017 was guards everywhere, and this year was lots of big men. And now there may not be one big picked in the top eight. There may not be a point guard taken, an actual point guard, until, like, the late lottery. Like, it's a weird draft.
I mean, who is the best point guard in this class? I'm not even sure I know. I mean,
if it's not Grimes, and honestly, it could be Ja Morant. But I think most places, it's Darius Garland and Trae Jones are the top two guys.
So if you're a Hawks fan, fortunately, the Hawks will not be looking at point guard in the lottery because they already have one of those. Yeah, that's something to file away for the future. That at least on paper, right now in September, it looks like wing is going to be the best position on this draft, and the Hawks probably need to take a wing. So that kind of lines up. So that's nice. I mean, that's probably good to as a stopping point for now. I mean, I think you and I could talk about this stuff for 2 hours, but it's September and we got to get
information. If I had to pick for the Hawks, let's say they get the second pick And let's say that Zion goes first, because I'm going to like throw him out because he kind of...
You love Zion. It's very clear you love Zion. It's fine. I like
it. He kind of puts pheromones on me, and I don't really know how to evaluate it properly. Let's say I'd probably take RJ, and then I would maybe Nazir, but I do feel like there's a chance where you could look at Keldon Johnson as that actual wing guy with the Dallas pick, and you could take the home run shot on like Dumbuya or Bol Bol. That might be an interesting way to do it. The problem is those guys don't shoot well enough. I don't think that's what the Hawks would do. The new Hawks would do.
Yeah, they definitely want some shooting. I think
Reddish, honestly, if just like looking at the way they drafted.
Yeah, I think at some point Travis Lang's going to have to not take a shooter that struggles elsewhere at every position. Like defense is going to have to matter at some point.
The thing is, Reddish doesn't really struggle. Like he.
No, no, I agree with you. I just mean in general, like
he's a solid defender, and he can pass. He's a really good passer.
Yeah, he's a good enough athlete that defense may not be a problem with Cam Reddish. I just mean in general, like I think this year was kind of amusing in the way that he just ignored defense almost entirely. And it was fine for one class, and just sort of as an organizational philosophy thing. But I think everyone would probably agree that they're going to have to draft someone who's a plus defender at some point, because they don't really have one among their core right now.
No, Torian Prince is not a very good defender.
He was bad last year defensively. I think Collins is okay. Yeah, no, Collins. I think Collins can be pretty good defensively. I think Prince has the tools to be pretty solid. He was just not there last year. Herter can be okay, honestly.
Yeah, actually, I really liked his defensive instincts. I thought that was pretty good for that archetype.
And he's long, and like I think he will be okay. I don't think he's ever going to be like great defensively, but he can be fine.
Korver was okay.
Yeah, I mean that's the obvious comp. I think Korver's bigger, like just physically thicker and stronger.
Yeah.
But Herter's probably better athlete. So
it's the lazy comparison for him, but the thing that really drives it is they both have like you watch Herter's tape or even like his highlights, the ball pops out of his hand when he shoots. It's like this is cross pollination of sports, but it's like the reason people were so infatuated with Pat Mahomes as a draft prospect, where it's just like
just the zoom, yeah,
comes out of their hands different than other guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Herter is, I mean, he was the best shooter in the draft, I thought.
So, Trey.
I mean, Trey has more, it's more functional, but I mean, if you told me...
Run a guy off a screen?
A kick, yeah, off a screen or just a kick out, catch, and
shoot.
I think
it's him or Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, he's good too.
That's a thing that a lot of people were criticizing the trade for them because Mikal is kind of like at the top of his development. He may not be like a good NBA defender. I feel like he's an underrated shooter. Like he was maybe the most versatile shooter in college basketball.
Oh, he was a ridiculous shooter. I mean, Villanova had a bunch of ridiculous shooters, but Bridges routinely just like his high release. He's got, it's wild. And the range that he has as well. So
yeah, Herter's definitely in the top group.
Yeah, Herter's obviously that's why they took him. They made no secret about that. I think he actually is a little bit underrated with everything else that he can do, but shooting is clearly his number one skill. All right, Brian. Well, I know you got a Patreon people should be following that I am a patron of, so please sell that to the people and tell them where they can find your stuff because you'll be doing a ton of draft stuff.
I'm already doing a ton of draft stuff. I have it's not complete, but I have what I've been reading off of this whole time is my draft board that has right now about 40 guys detailed on it, and I'm going to try and get that out to 50 before the season starts and then maybe 75 or 100 before the draft. And I have like a full 150 men big board up. I just don't have like a lot of thoughts on those guys. Like, I don't really know what to say about like, I don't know, Desmond Cambridge from Brown or let's see here, Tyler Cook from Iowa. He's big and can shoot sometimes. But it's patreon.com/Cosmis, COSMIS. That's also my Twitter.
And I will link to that in the Peace Tree Hoops post when this goes up as well. I am a patron of Brian's. I think he does fantastic work, and one of the few people that's doing this basically year round. He's just digging in and doing this stuff all the time. That's one of the reasons why he's far ahead of me right now in terms of evaluating these guys is that he's been doing it for a long time. So, shouts to Brian, and thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. We'll have to do this again certainly before the draft, but we'll talk some actual NBA stuff during the season too because I know you follow that as well.
Mm-hmm. Always do.
Thanks again, man. We'll do it again. And as for everybody else, please subscribe to the podcast, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys later on in the week.